Hey everyone, welcome to Five More Minutes, the show where two friends relive their childhoods, prank each other, teach each other about things that they may or may not know, and learn about things they may or may not know. I'm Kendra.
And I'm Scott.
I feel like I turned into a news anchor voice a little bit, and I don't know how to feel about that. But
it wasn't that bad.
I lost my thought process. I couldn't remember the rest of the order of the list. Yikes.
Jeez, that's enough.
So, I have a question for you, sir.
Okay.
Do you know the origin of the first time Friday the 13th was combined into a phrase?
I have no idea.
So, I just learned about this. I was walking my dog. I was listening to an episode of And That's Why We Drink. And the host, M, was covering kind of like the lore of Friday the 13th. So, apparently... The first time that was used together as a phrase was in a 1907 novel by Thomas Lawson. And the novel is called Friday, the 13th. The novel by the Muckraker. Is that how you say that?
What?
Muckraker? Muckraker and
Stockman. Oh, Muckraker. Yeah, not Muckraker.
I don't know why my brain did that. And Stock Manipulizer. Manipulator, Jesus. And it is a gripping, if overwrought, page turner that exemplifies the many works of panic fiction that erupted from the financial earthquakes that regularly shook Americans in those days. The book is about what else? Wall Street, which is where the author intended to create an earthquake of his own.
Okay.
Yeah.
That kind of makes sense. It's like one bad Wall Street day. I guess that does kind of sound familiar.
Yeah. And then it didn't really like stick as like a spooky thing until the 80s with the movie.
Nice. But, so they're just like, screw Wall Street.
Yeah.
And Friday the 13th.
In the podcast, the host also said that like the world, I think, loses like $800 to $900 billion on for every Friday the 13th because people like don't go places. Like people stay home. It's also one of the safest days to drive.
I didn't know people took it that seriously.
Yeah.
Because I don't, it's not even a second thought.
No. For me. And apparently it's like different in different countries, like in Italy or something. It's like Tuesday the 17th or something. It's like,
whoa.
It's like a weird thing. But yeah, and apparently hospital visits go up, but car accidents go down. And it's home related injuries that send people to the hospital on Friday the 13th.
Well, if everyone's staying home, they're going to get hurt somewhere.
Yep.
Jeez.
But, you know, it's spooky season. And I thought that was an interesting fact, you know?
Spooky.
Yeah, but I'm still mad about what was that movie I watched? Halloween.
Oh yeah.
I just
why are you mad?
Because in the first one it's fine. He's doing that classic thing where you fall off, you get pushed out a window or whatever, and then you disappear. But in the 2018 one, he's literally in a chamber of gas and explosion.
Nice.
And like he lives through that. I haven't seen like the 12 in the middle, but
Mike Myers is more than a person.
I don't know, man. It's weird.
I've actually never seen it, so
I had like the first one.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes me feel better. Then why do you want those shoes so bad? Keaton said you want those shoes.
They're just cool looking.
Oh, fake fan.
Yeah,
I found
those. No, those are Halloween shoes. Like, just
oh
the
well, why
Halloween.
Was he talking about it like it was in relation to the movie?
Because he was talking about other ones he got with relation to Friday the 13th.
Well, he was talking to me about it when I was there, and he made it seem like it was in relation to the movie.
No, they do like a Halloween pair every year.
Oh well, that's what he made it seem like. I don't think he listens to this, so it's whatever. But I downloaded that sneakers app, and I really like the blue and gold ones.
Those are pretty cool.
Yeah. If I actually get my paid time off, maybe I'll try to buy those.
So many shoes.
I also kind of like these space hippie shoes.
Yeah, I wanted to get a pair of the original ones that, because there were some weird ones that you could like, had like a pull string system. So you didn't tie them. You just kind of like pulled them and they got tight. And they were like high tops and they looked really cool. But those are reselling for tons of money, so they're hard to get. I think those green ones will be easier to get.
There's a couple different ones in here. There's like a gray and green one too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know those blue and gold Jordans. Those kind of just spoke to me.
Popping, yo.
Yeah, I have noticed how many. Well, I was also thinking about getting some Air Force shoes at some point, just to mix it up from like the skater shoe style.
But yeah, well, I mean, Air Force One is still kind
of. Yeah, but it's not the like same.
It doesn't have like the board deck.
Yeah, bottom. And I also like the Reebok Club C's or whatever. Those are kind of similar to the white Reeboks that I already have. But so many of my students have white Air Force Ones. Like so many, like almost probably like a third of each class.
That's the hip thing to do, yo. Get them pure white Air Force Ones. Them cocaine whites, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pure only.
Whoa.
Snow White.
Whoa. And the Seven Dwarves?
I guess you can bring them along if you want, but I don't care.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's fair, I guess.
And this has been Shoe Corner.
Yeah. Yeah. We like shoes, and I haven't had a good paying job in a while, so I might go through a shoe phase. But, you know.
And I have way too many shoes. I've been in a shoe phase for the past 10 years. Yeah,
you know what you should do is put shelves behind you for when we record with all your fancy shoes in them.
I have some hidden shelves I haven't used yet. Yeah. I don't know how Cheyenne would feel about me decorating the craft room.
That's fine. You get one wall. That's fine. Yeah.
Get a nice shoe wall. Yeah. Show them off.
Yeah.
I guess more people would potentially see them than the ones just in my bedroom.
Yeah, there you go. Because no one sees those unless we're going to the hot tub, and the hot tub doesn't work anymore.
And the hot tub is gone now, actually.
How did you do that?
There was a random post on Facebook that was like, we take free hot tubs, or, you know, we take non-working hot tubs for free. And I was like, you want mine? And he came and looked at it. He's like, yeah, I'll take it. Good. Get it out of here.
Now you got to get another one so we can have cigars and whiskey in the hot tub again.
We're probably going to get one of those like industrial inflatable ones so we don't have to leave it out all the time.
Yeah, but well, then we can't do that this winter.
Why not?
I don't know. Are you going to?
We're looking into ones to buy. The problem is I think the normal size you get for them are only like 4-person ones. And it'd be kind of nice to have a little bit bigger one.
That's true. I mean, 4 people is really all that fit comfortably in the one you had anyways.
Yeah. We had 5 in there once, and it was like...
I feel like I don't have hair now.
You don't? It's all gone. I shaved it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's hiding.
It's hiding, yo. Well, anything else to discuss?
I don't think so. I can rant and rave about Squid Game at the end.
Oh, yeah. I forgot you wanted to talk about that already. I'm only an episode and a half in, though, so no spoilies.
No spoilies. No spoilies.
All right, well, I guess we can, I can't pop my knuckles like that. We can crack into it. I'm going to leave that in there.
Yeah.
I can't do it this way. I don't know.
I can sometimes, but
I thought it would be cool, like a cool effect, but it just, nothing happened. It made no noise.
Yeah.
Well, I bet you can't guess what topic my topic is related to.
You know, I really can't, and I did not even open the episode list yet, so I don't know.
Well, at some point, I'll do a second non-D&D episode, but this one is D&D related.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, but, and I don't have any pictures or anything for this one, so, and it's not as spicy as this, the porn star one, I apologize, but damn. This episode comes out on the same day as Campaign 3 of Critical Role starts, so... Oh. I thought it was only fitting that I do a brief Critical Role overview.
There you go.
Yeah, so I can't say it's going to be super spicy, but I tried to
muy caliente.
Include some kind of interesting, you know. Oh, you're drinking some game fuel, man. Did you get more?
I did, yeah.
So I tried to include some, you know, interesting facts. Maybe the people don't know, you know.
All right.
Critical Role is a web series streamed on Twitch and also available on YouTube, where a bunch of voice actor friends sit around and play D&D. And in my opinion, they're just living the dream because they work with their friends and they play D&D, and that's what they do. And
there you go.
That's great. I'm working with you, but we don't make any money, so it's not the same.
Yeah, and we still have a day job, so.
Yeah, maybe one day, you know.
Maybe.
So, for those of you who don't know, i.e. Scott, Critical Role airs on Thursdays at 7 p.m. Pacific on Twitch and YouTube. But the only place where you can watch the live stream and participate in the moderated chat is on Twitch. And recently they've started pre-recording. They still don't edit or anything, but they pre-record just because with COVID and stuff, it was working out better for like everyone's schedules and being safe. So instead of actually like going there and playing and taking the break, they record it early, but it's still unedited and everything. They also rebroadcast the streams at 12 a.m. and 9 a.m. Pacific the following morning. And so if it's a longer episode, sometimes that means there's only like 25 minutes in between when the first, when it ends and then when it re-shows.
How long do they go?
They're like 3 to 4.5 hours usually. The finale of the second campaign was 7 hours long.
Wow.
Yeah. But that's for, you know, other time zones and stuff. There's also a website that the community made for calculating time zone differences called wheniscriticalrole.com. So people all
help. I can't do normal math.
So people all over the world can figure out when to watch it. And their company is 100% independent and creator owned. So I'm just going to do a quick overview of the cast.
Okay.
We're going to start with Mr. Matthew Mercer. His real last name is Miller.
He's a liar.
And I feel like I read or listened to him talk recently about why he has a stage name, and I can't remember what it was, but it like stuck, so he kept it. So obviously he's a voice actor. On IMDb, he has 408 actor credits.
He's been in it all.
He's been in things like Overwatch, Resident Evil, Attack on Titan, Fallout, and Fire Emblem. His second credit ever was Sailor Moon, 1992 to 1994. He played Prince Damondi, Doctor, and Kokuritsu.
All right.
Yeah. And I think he was born in the early 80s, so he was like 11-ish.
That's pretty good. Got in early.
Yeah. His wife, Marisha Ray, is also a voice actor. Not in as many things, but it's also the creative director of Critical Role, more into the directing and producing things. She's also the youngest cast member. She's closer to our age.
Marisha?
Marisha, yep. M-A-R-I-S-H-A. She, some of her voice acting credits include Fire Emblem, Star Wars Battlefront, where she voiced female stormtrooper, and Fallout 76. And a lot of these were all working on the same things, but I tried to differentiate what I was listing. Oh, she has 69 credits on IMDb.
Wow. She can't work anymore.
Yeah. You're supposed to say nice.
Nice.
Then we've got Laura Bailey, who is a voice actor and is in charge of the merchandise for the Critical Role company. She's been in like the most things out of everyone. She also has 20 award wins, which I think was the highest total out of anyone. But she's been in Spider-Man, Avengers Assemble, Naruto, obviously the English dubbed version, Digimon Fusion, and Fire Emblem. Did I already say 494? Okay, I think I can't.
No.
But that's how many credits she has.
Nice.
So I took a screen capture of this because it was easier. Her very first thing she was in was Dragon Ball, and she was 5. She was born in 1981, and she was in like 4 episodes in 1986.
Who was she?
She voiced Chi Chi, Ranfan. Is that what that says? It's really small. And Sarah.
Well, I know Chi Chi.
Yeah. And then her next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things were all Dragon Ball. Dragon Ball, or next 4. The next 4 things after that were all Dragon Ball Z in the 90s. And then something called Yu Yu Hakusho.
Yu Yu Hakusho, yeah.
Yeah, she was in 111 episodes of that from 92 to 95. And then another Dragon Ball Z thing, something called Lupin 3, and then another Dragon Ball Z thing. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So out of her first 10 voice acting gigs, 8 of them are Dragon Ball related.
Well, she is the wife of the main protagonist.
In what?
Dragon Ball.
Oh. Well, she plays different people.
Yeah, but Chi-Chi.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. But she only plays Chi-Chi in the first one.
In Dragon Ball, that's it?
Yeah. And everything else is like weird things. Trunks, is there a lot? I think most of them are small roles. Ki-Ki. Oh, that's something different. Trunks a lot. But yeah, so she obviously got into it pretty young at the age of 5.
Yeah.
Her husband, Travis Willingham, who does like CrossFit stuff and has Rogue shirts. So that's pretty cool.
Whoa.
He is a voice actor and CEO of Critical Role. He voices Thor in most new cartoon type things. Avengers Assemble. And also a Guardians of the Galaxy TV show that I didn't know was a thing, but there's a few seasons of it. And then a bunch of these guys are in Naruto Shippuden. And I don't really know what that is, but they were all in it. He has 397 actor credits. So up there, you know. And then you got Liam O'Brien. He's been in 490 things. Star Wars, The Bad Batch, Avengers Assembler. Why do I keep saying?
Ah, yes, Avengers Assembler.
Why do I keep saying that?
I don't know.
Okay, Avengers Assemble, where he voices Red Skull and Dr. Skull. Jesus Christ.
Red Skull, yep. Red Skull Bus.
Red Skull and Dr. Strange in also in most new Avengers cartoon type things. He voices those two people. Was also in Naruto Shippuden. And the second thing he appeared in was in 1992 when he appeared in Sailor Moon. And he voiced Nefertiti.
Sure.
Yeah. I was just throwing those in there in case Cheyenne ever decided to listen to the podcast.
You would probably know who that is.
And then you've got Mr. Sam Riegel. I should have found... he does like the sponsors. Ships and stuff for the episodes, and he does some crazy stuff. Like he drank a bunch of stuff. I think I talked about this once, at least just with you. But he poured a bunch of stuff into a cup and drank it. I should have found someone and had you watch it. But he's also a voice actor. He's funny. He also like sings and stuff like a cappella. So like the song that they made, the critical role song. I feel like I don't know. Anyways, a bunch of them singing it, but he kind of like put it all together.
Yeah.
And by a bunch of them, it's him, Travis, Laura, and Ashley, who I've not spoken about yet. But anyways, he is the voice of Donatello in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And I wrote that wrong in my notes. I put TNMT.
TNMT.
He was also in Naruto Shippuden. Apparently we can't record after I've taught all day when it's my turn to speak because
you've talked too much.
I
guess
lost it. Yeah. Mad Max and Fallout 4 were things. Some things that stood out to me. 384 actor credits. And then you've got Taliesin Jaffe, who's also a voice actor. Not in as many things, only in 170.
What was her name?
Taliesin Jaffe.
Taliesin Jaffe?
Yep.
All right.
The very first thing he was in, he was 6. He's the oldest cast member. He's born in 1977. Most of them are like late 30s or just turning 40. But he played Kenny Butler in Mr. Mom. So he was one of the kids in the Mr. Mom movie, which I feel like I watched at some point because it's the type of thing my mom liked. But I don't really remember anything about it. But he's been in some other things. Vampire the Masquerade. Fallout 76, Red Dead Redemption 2. So still some notable stuff.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, you have Ashley Johnson, who some people would say is the most famous because she's had 2 big roles on TV shows. So even though everyone else has been in like over 300 like voice acting things, she's been on the screen and it's a lot easier to like remember.
Recognize.
Yeah. So she was on Growing Pains when she was younger, which I definitely watched. She played Chrissy Seaver. And then more recently, she was on the show Blind Spot, which actually looks really good, but I haven't watched. And that just ended, I think, in like 2020 or something. And then something that stood out to me was that she was in Recess, and I definitely used to watch that show. She voiced Gretchen Grundler.
Nice.
And then apparently there was a Jumanji TV show in the 90s, and she was in that. It was like three seasons long, which I did not even know existed, but there was over 100 episodes, I think.
Wow.
Or something, okay. Close to 100. Yeah, but anyways, that's that. She has 145 acting credits.
Solid.
And then the entire cast was in The Last of Us Part 2, all seven of them. Or all eight of them, I guess. But yeah, and I remember seeing them post that they all got like sent like the game and some special stuff. I don't really remember.
Maybe
like a controller or something. I'm not sure. Yeah, so that's just a brief overview. You know, obviously I didn't want to do a bunch of research into their like lives, because number one, there's eight of them, and number two, people can do that on their own.
True. Do our work for us.
Yeah. But I mean, I've watched a lot of like, you know, interviews and stuff, at least with some of them. Oh, fun fact. So Sam Riegel, who I mentioned, the one who does like the acapella and Donatello and stuff. Acapella? Jesus Christ.
Acapella.
His wife is an actress. So that's an actress. God damn. No, his wife is a director. Sorry.
Okay.
But I was Googling. I was trying to Google something. Like, I wanted to know what her name was. I was trying to see if she'd while I was making my notes, I was like, oh, I should like Google her, because I've never actually like looked at what she's directed or whatever. But Sam and Liam have this like kind of funny bit sometimes, partially because of their characters that were in the second campaign. And one of the suggested Google searches was is Sam Riegel and Liam O'Brien married? It was like a suggested Google search. So that means that other people have searched that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And I thought it was just absolutely hilarious. I was like, what? This is funny. Because
people are weird.
I feel like anyone who understands anything or pays attention would know that they're like obviously not married.
Right.
But yeah, so my next bullet point is the creation of Critical Role. So Critical Role started as a group of friends playing D&D. I actually think they were maybe playing Pathfinder. But they were all brought together through voice acting, so they all knew each other from like various things working together. But their first game was at Liam's birthday party in 2013, and they decided to keep playing after that. So I know for sure that like Matt and I think Liam and maybe some of the other ones had played growing up, but I'm not sure if everyone else had. Mm-hmm. But then in 2015, so 2 years, I think like 2.5 years-ish. I guess 2 years exactly, pretty much. They were approached by Geek and Sundry's Felicia Day. So Geek and Sundry is like a nerdy website thingy that does some shows and has like blogs and stuff. I don't know if you've heard of it. Nope. But Felicia Day is an actress. Her name was always familiar to me, but I didn't really know who she was. But anyways, they wanted them to stream their weekly games on their network. And this is where I should have included pictures, because I tried to go back and watch instead of listen to the very first episode, and it's like so different, because now they have like a studio with like a bunch of stuff in it. Well, when they first start recording, it's kind of just like a room, like it's not,
yeah,
there's no like effects or anything in it. But so they started streaming after they'd already been playing this campaign for 2 years, so they kind of have to introduce you in a different way. In March 2015, and campaign one ended in October 2017 after 115 episodes, but they had already been playing for 2 years. So that was like 4 years long that they were playing that.
Wow.
And then campaign two started in January 2018 and ended in June 2021 after 141 episodes. So 3 years of recording 141 episodes. And then in between those, because they take a couple months off, they film some one shots and do extra things. This time, I haven't finished watching this, but they were doing a limited series called Exandria Unlimited from June to August. I think there's 8 episodes. And then they've been doing some one shots and stuff in between. But the Exandria Unlimited is what was DM'd by the other person who I mentioned before, Abria Iyengar.
Ah,
So I tried to start watching Critical Role in like 2019 when I started listening to NADPOD, and Bailey was like, hey, you should listen to this. And there's a podcast version too that's on, you know, Spotify, wherever you get your pods.
Mm-hmm.
I could not get into it. I tried to watch it a couple times. I'm pretty sure I started the first episode like 3 times, and it wasn't until like 14 months after the first time I tried to listen to it that I actually kept watching it.
Really?
Yeah. And I think I was like slightly, well, I understood D&D a lot better by the time I actually started watching it. And I think that helped, because it was a little overwhelming to be listening to it, especially when there's 8 people and you don't know who they are. Like, you can't see them. So like watching it helped. And then I think when I had tried to watch it the first time, I wasn't in the right like focus brain. So it wasn't until I started making dice that I like could actually like sit down and like watch it. But so when I started watching campaign 2, there was like 93 episodes. I started watching it in May when I started making dice. So May of 2020. And they were on a break because they took like a 2 or 3 month break or whatever until they were able to continue doing stuff in person.
Yeah.
I got caught up by like episode like 98 or 99. So I watched in like 4 months or 3 months or something, like 100 episodes of Critical Role, because solid. I was just making dice. And when you watch them on your phone, you can't adjust the speed. So I couldn't watch it at like 1.25 time or whatever. I had to watch like at 1.0 time. So that just shows you how much time I spent making dice, because I was also listening to other things in that as well.
So, you were out there a lot.
Yeah, I was out there in the garage just working on my dice all day because I didn't have a job.
There you go.
All right. Doing it. So, super brief overview of the campaigns. Obviously, I did try to go back and start watching campaign 1, but then I never did. I might at some point. But campaign 1, which is Vox Machina, it's like a V and an M on all their stuff, has over 373 hours of gameplay in the 2.5-ish years that it ran. It takes place on the continent of Tal'Dorei in Exandria. And Exandria is the world that Matt Mercer built that has different countries. So each campaign is taking place on a different country in a world he built. So he's not, so he came up with like the calendar system, all the lore, essentially. But they're going and exploring in a different place each time they play. So they're not, I think that they kind of did go to Tal'Dorei in campaign 2, and they like met with someone who they met with and worked with in the first campaign, but obviously their characters didn't have that context. But they did the whole time kept trying to ask him questions, because I think campaign 2 takes place 20 years after the end of it, so they kept trying to find out if their characters were on like the council,
or they if they were still alive.
They kept trying to like ask him questions he wouldn't answer. But he did give one of them, his wife, had the opportunity to catch a glimpse of her character, and found her mom who had been missing in the first campaign.
Wow.
Yeah. Hopefully that's no spoilers for anyone. Can't imagine it is. But anyways, so originally they had another player named Orion Akaba, who is also a voice actor, I believe. But he left like partway through. And this is like the most controversial thing about Critical Role is this. But I tried to, there's not really that much information on why. I did find something, a quote referenced Emily Friedman in the book Role Playing Games in the Digital Age, Essays on Transmedia Storytelling, Tabletop RPGs, and Fandom, which honestly sounds like a book I want to buy, highlighted that while the public statements by all were civil, warm, fan speculation was so rampant that the Critical Role Reddit page has an entire fact section on what can and cannot be discussed in relation to Akaba and his character Tiberius Stormwind. Akaba attempted to run an independent spin-off series focused on the character's home country of Draconia, but the show only saw a handful of episodes before it ended. Akaba courted fan appeals to bring back his character, and thus himself, none successful. As of this writing, almost all episodes of the spinoff have been purged from YouTube. The show's audience base expanded significantly in the months after Akava's departure. As a result, different viewers have a different experience of how long Tiberius was a part of Critical Role. Shelley Jones, in an essay in the book Watcher's Role, what are all these books I need to buy? Also highlighted the fan response, including the Reddit fact, to Akaba's departure and the cast's external strife associated with his departure, such as disgruntled and deleted tweets and an uncomfortable Ask Me Anything on Reddit. So it all seems right. like they were all very civil about it, but there's some, like, something probably happened. Mm-hmm. And I need to remember to write these books down because I really want to buy them.
Watch. I need the books.
Yeah, because that's like this other one. It sounds so academic. It sounds like right up my alley. Role-playing games in the digital age. That's like rhetoric, theory, that's just everything Kendra likes.
Oh my God.
Like, maybe that's what I should get my master's in, or my PhD, if I do that, instead of, you know, sonic rhetoric. Did I tell you that one of my students asked me what I studied in my master's and then was like, what did you expect to do with that?
You're like, I don't know, something.
Well, he was like asking me questions about like grad school. And then I was like, yeah, I studied like this thing called sonic rhetoric and I did my non-thesis on it, but I didn't really study it because there's no professors here that study it. And like, you don't do that until you get a PhD. And then he was like, ask me what it was. And I was like, oh yeah, it's just like how we're like affected by sound, like, and whatever. And he was like, what did you expect to do with that?
He was like, kill shot.
I told Megan and she was like, well, he's not wrong. And I was like, I mean, I know, but still.
That kid just pooping on you.
Yeah. But anyways, so the Vox Machina, super popular, got so many people into D&D, you know, made Critical Role a big deal. And somewhere in the middle of that, they like moved to like a better studio and whatnot. They left Geek and Sundry either in between campaigns one and two or right after campaign two, somewhere in the middle of that. So like if you look stuff up, it's in different places. So like campaign one on Spotify is in a different location than campaign two because it's like property of Geek and Sundry, essentially. But they just left to create their own business. There is no like, you know, they're living the dream. They're making a business with their friends. I don't know how many business propositions I have proposed to you.
with no funds or plan.
Well, we made the podcast, but that didn't really require money. So we stepped in the right direction. Okay. But I have proposed things such as like beer coffee shops and I think that this Alchemist TM bar coffee thing that I was talking about is like a great idea.
Which also requires money.
Yeah, well, we'll get there. See, we just need to figure out how to advertise the podcast and get some money. And then we can use all this extra income, like all 20 bucks of it. to open a restaurant. But I told Misa about that idea and she thought it sounded great.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, that's a place people would go to. You got to find the right location though. And I don't know if this is it, but, and I don't think where you live is it, but you know,
there's a
place out there for that.
Yeah.
So anyways, campaign two started, I mentioned already, in like June of 2018. January of 2018 and went through June of 2021. There are 570 hours of gameplay video.
Jesus.
Yeah, approximately. So calculate that up for how much I watched. I watched all 570 hours of that in 1 year instead of three.
Pretty good, I guess.
Yeah, that's impressive. I'm going to have to decide now whether or not I want to start watching this when I'm getting up at 4 for the gym or if I want to try to watch it. I'm just so far behind already on all my podcasts because I have like a job where I can't listen to stuff while I do things now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I mentioned, it takes place 20 years after the end of campaign one. And it takes place in the continent of Wildmount. And there's a bunch of stuff in here. There's like stuff in the sea. One of the characters is like a sailor or was a sailor. they go to the coast. They go to, I can't even explain it all to you because it's just too much. There's 570 hours of content.
There's a lot of things.
But it's really good. And even though it took me like four times to get through the first like episode.
Yeah.
I love it. It's great. And a lot of people watch it who don't even play D&D. So maybe sometime you should try watching Critical Role and just see what you like. I mean, when you have an extra four hours to spare.
Right.
Or you could listen to it. But it is definitely a lot easier to watch, especially I could probably listen to it now since I like know who they are. And obviously if I listen to 570 hours, I think I could tell their voices apart even when they're doing voices, like even when they're doing character voices. But yeah, it's really good. This game that I bought that I wanted to play to do an episode on. I should bring it over sometime because it says it's like 2 to 4 players, Ukitoa. Is actually based on this, like, well, she's described as a raging sea leviathan, but kind of one of the main storyline-esque things for one of the guys, for Travis's character.
Ooh, snap.
Oh, and in campaign 2, Travis and Laura, who are married IRL, their characters fall in love.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's so weird. I wonder how that happened.
Anyways, but also Marisha, who's married to Matt, her character, and Ashley's character, who are both females, have a relationship. So they're really, you know, they're really showing all the things in there.
All them things.
Yeah. I mean, they're not showing the things. I said that weird.
Damn it.
Yeah. Anyways. But yeah, and then I already mentioned Exandria Unlimited, which takes place 6 years after campaign 2. And then I think that the campaign 3, I'm trying to remember because I watched the State of the Role, which is a video that they put out that gives you information on what's up with Critical Role.
What's up, man?
Because they have their own network. So they said, see, this is the dream. We got to get to the point of where we have our own organization and we have our own network, because Keaton could totally make a show where you just get a bunch of junk and you put it together and you make something work.
Yeah.
And people could watch that.
Sure.
Yeah. And then, like, I don't know, Sawyer could just stream and Ian could stream. They could stream while they're yelling at each other. I don't know. Like, there's, like, we've got a graphic designer. Like, we've got everything, you know? We just need someone who knows how to do marketing.
Yeah, we don't have that.
Yeah, we need that one thing. Maybe we should start going to more bars, like in upscale places, and try to make new friends. Or we could do Bumble BFF.
Oh.
And then be like, I only want you for your knowledge.
And possibly your money.
Yeah, can you financially back a project? Okay, yeah. Thanks.
Sweet.
But yeah, and I was reading something where they were talking about the thought process of like making a company with your friends, because, like, you know, that could be bad. You just gotta have a tight knit group of buckaroos. And see, they didn't do that until their mid to late 30s. So we've got like 6 years.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So we got some time.
We've got it. We've got it under control. So then I wanted to talk about their Kickstarter. So their Kickstarter that they did in 2018, I believe. Or maybe it was 2019, is the sixth biggest Kickstarter of all time.
Whoa.
So they made a Kickstarter to fund an animated special of The Legend of Vox Machina, which is their first campaign. I'll just give you the info. Let me go back to my notes. So
$88,837
backers pledged $11,385,449 of a $750,000 goal.
Wow.
So that's like 12 or 13 times what they wanted.
Yeah.
It took just 40 minutes to reach their initial goal. And 3 weeks later, they had raised $8 million. And so then that last $3 million came. It was a 42-day, I think, or no, 3 weeks. It was like a 60-day campaign. It's like a 2-month-long campaign. And they blew past like all of their stretch goals. That's a big Kickstarter. 40 minutes to fund, like, that's intense.
Yeah.
And they broke the record for the most funded TV or film project ever. And it took 4 days for it to be $5.79 million. So people are just really amped up about this. Like, that's how popular Critical Role got in that 2 years that they were on for the first time. So what was supposed to just be like a small animated special is now going to be 2 seasons totaling 24 episodes on Amazon Prime. So in November 2019, Amazon Prime partnered on the project. So it's exclusively going to be on Amazon Prime. And it airs February 4th, 2022.
All right. So, getting close.
Yes. And they're all voicing their characters and stuff. So I'm going to watch that. You know, it's going to be exciting.
There you go.
And I think it got delayed, like, partially because of COVID and partially because it was expanded into, like, a bigger project.
Mm-hmm.
So it I think it was originally supposed to come out in 2020. And so then everything got pushed back. So then I have a bullet point called State Of, since they have State of the Role. So
State of the Role.
State of the Show. So historically, their Twitch channel attracts 60,000 to 75,000 live viewers for each episode. If you factor in on-demand plays and YouTube, the total per episode audience has ranged from 1.2 million to 1.5 million. And then in the past 12 months, this was a recent article. So in the past 12 months, the audience has grown more than 23% on Twitch and nearly 50% on YouTube year over year. That said, Critical Role remains relatively small compared with other popular creators and digital media properties. It has 818,000 followers on Twitch, and the most popular streamers have 10 million or more followers, so that's significantly less, and 1.4 million YouTube subscribers. And all that information is from a recent Variety article.
Yeah.
They also have a series of comic books through Dark Horse. Also based on Vox Machina. They're called Vox Machina Origins. They have, it looks like, around 15 or so Vox Machina Origins comics. They have an art book, and they have some volume collections. And they have an upcoming one called The Tales of Exandria the Bright Queen, number one. You can pre-order. And I don't really like comics, but I think I would actually read. It's not that I don't like comic books, it's just that I've never read them.
Yeah.
But I kind of want to get all these. It's like $2 for a comic book, so
that's not bad. I'm
gonna add that to my, after I've been making money for a few months, you know, list of things to get.
Yeah.
They also have some books. They have The Explorer's Guide to Wildmount, which is a Wizards of the Coast 5th edition source book. I actually have that. So that's essentially the campaign setting for campaign 2. And I really want to play a campaign there, maybe if I can convince all the homies. Because I bought that.
All the homies.
Yeah. And then, so that's pretty much everything you need to know to run your own campaign in their setting. They also have a pre-order out, which I'll also probably pre-order this, for another D&D book, but this one is a campaign book instead of just a, like, a source book, called Critical Role, Call of the Netherdeep.
The Nether Deep.
Yep. An epic Critical Role campaign for the world's greatest role-playing game. The greed of mortals has awakened a powerful entity long thought destroyed. For eons, this mighty champion of the gods has been imprisoned in the darkest depths of Exandria. His name has been forgotten, as have his heroic deeds. Languishing in despair, he calls out for new heroes to save him. Inspired by the campaigns of the hit series Critical Role, this adventure begins in the wastes of Jorhas and leads to the glimmering oasis city of Ankarel on the continent of Marquette. And from there, into a sunken realm of gloom, corruption, and sorrow known as the Netherdeep. Above it all, the red moon of Rudis watches, twisting the fate of those who have the power to shape the course of history.
Well,
yeah. Anyways, I was trying to read that in my best advertisement voice.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how it works. I'll listen back to it and probably hate it.
Sound pretty normal to me, but
oh, really? I was like, oh, really? Oh, that's sad. I was trying to be all like inspired by the campaigns, you know? Like,
yeah, yeah. I get it.
Oh. Fun question. How do you spell Jorhas?
Jorhas?
Yeah.
J-O-R-H-A-S.
No. X H O Hashas.
Oh, yeah. There's no shot I was getting that. Yeah.
Also, I just realized I didn't make a quiz, so I'm going to have to ask you questions on the fly.
Nice.
And then I already mentioned the art books, but it's called The Chronicles of Exandria, and it is a combination of fan art, other art, and then things written by the cast. So it's just one of those cool, you know, bookshelf pieces or coffee table pieces. Like, hey, you guys want to talk about some art?
Yeah.
Today I had my class do an activity, and I described it differently for each class. So they made these things called, this is related, I promise. Kind of, not really.
Okay.
They did these things called blackout poems. I scanned a picture of the book, they black out words, they make a poem from it. Mm-hmm. And the purpose was for them to read everyone else's and see how everyone reads the same page differently, because no one made the same poem. But I hung them all up on the wall before they got there. So when we got to that activity, I was like, all right, so you guys are going to go around. You're going to walk around. You're going to read everyone else's poems. I'm going to give you 8 minutes when you're done, sit down. But you can't talk during
eight
this.
8 minutes.
You can't talk during this. So for first hour, I described it as, it's like watching golf. Don't talk. Be quiet. and they were like, what? And I was like, it's fine. And then for fourth hour, I was like, pretend you're in an art museum looking at art. I think that was a better way to describe it.
Yeah, probably.
Because I was like, no one talks in an art museum. And they were like, yeah, okay, you're right. But when I said the golf thing, they were like, what?
They're like, what is golf?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, so they also have a side thingy out of their company.
A
side sprocket. A sidearm.
A sprocket? They have a gun? They have a sidearm?
Yeah, they've got a hit piece.
Whoa.
They have a publishing company called Darrington Press. Oh. So Darrington Press is a tabletop publishing company of critical role. From our table to yours, we create games to inspire and empower storytellers everywhere. So one of the games they publish is Ukatoa, which I just held up to the camera and put up here where it's blurry. Which is a semi-cooperative card play where factions of sailors vie to be the last claimed by the raging sea leviathan, Ukatoa.
Is it supposed to echo like that?
Yeah. Hopefully there'll be like one person who watches Critical Role who listens and appreciates that I'm doing that.
Yeah, there you go.
This is for you, bud. So they have some upcoming projects to Darrington Press. One is the Tal'Dorei campaign setting Reborn, which is a definitive sourcebook for bringing the locations, people, creatures, and character options of the Tal'Dorei continent to your gaming table. Another game called Syndicult, an original modern magic role-playing game designed by Matthew Mercer, in which mob families jealously guard secrets and battle it out for power on the city streets. Featuring an elegant storytelling dice mechanic, Syndicult is a low magic world where all bets are off. And honestly, that sounds fun. I want to play that. Mob families? Come on. And dice?
Mob.
Guardians of Matrimonia, fight the monsters, save the party. Guardians of Matrimonia is a cooperative card game where you guard a wedding from a deck of party-crashing monsters. Originally designed as a gift for Matthew Mercer and Marisha Ray's wedding! Players have pre-built decks that are pitted against a deck of monsters. If your deck runs out, everyone loses, but if you battle your way through the entire party crasher deck, everyone wins.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then Critical Role Adventures. Embark on your own journey through Exandria with Critical Role Adventures. Play as the upstart adventurers Vox Machina and overcome treacherous challenges. This cooperative legacy light campaign game uses a unique narrative mechanic for social combat encounters, luring you back session after session. Within this enormous box, you'll find a host of hidden treasures and a rich storybook to guide you through thrilling combat, dynamic character growth, and tales worthy of the name of Vox Machina. They also...
That's fancy.
Yeah. They also have a foundation, the Critical Role Foundation. So the Critical Role Foundation, which you can find at criticalrolefoundation.org, selects and partners with outstanding nonprofit organizations that carry the same values as we do, and we work closely alongside each of our partners to ensure that every dollar raised is going towards programs and projects that are changing the world for the better. Critical Role Foundation is incorporated as a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your donation is 100% tax deductible in the United States.
You just about made it through there without a stumble.
I was trying to do it fast because I feel like when people read ads, they always do that part really fast at the end.
Yeah, you always got to do the fine print really quick.
But they do a lot of cool stuff. They were trying to make a Venice High School writer's room. And they were with this organization that, I forget what it's called. It's like a more of like a local, you know, like LA thing, for like, you know, game, like D&D clubs with students and stuff. So a lot of cool organizations. Yeah. And they usually have stuff on their store that when you buy is, the profits are going like directly to that so that you can do that instead of, donating. And then I wanted to just really quickly go over their core values. From their website. So, believing in the positive impact of storytelling. We believe that stories can change lives. I believe that too, and that's why I like them.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to read the whole paragraph anyways. Sharing the love of games with others. Games encourage a sense of wonder that tends to fade as life becomes more complicated. There are a few words to describe the feeling of discovery and the rush of excitement that occurs between a group of friends embarking on an adventure together. And you see, that is why I always want to go on adventures.
Adventure
in real life.
Can we go on an adventure?
Staying curious and always learning. Our adventuring party is always equipped with a spark of curiosity. This curiosity often leads us to new and exciting endeavors. And then the final one is leaving the world better than we found. We believe in using our platform for good. Over the years, we have partnered with several nonprofit organizations that share our goal of creating a better and more inclusive world for generations to come. That's that. That's their values. Pretty highly rated. Obviously, I didn't look at the ratings, but on IMDb, it was like this, like a 9.3 or something out of 10. I figured we didn't need to do reviews because we can save that for the bad movies.
Yeah.
I did find one thing, though, that was like on discoverpods.com, why your podcast sucks, Critical Role. Huh. And I didn't really read it. It says the cast of Critical Role are nerdy friends, but not your nerdy friends.
Okay.
And I was like, what? and apparently this person thinks that the episodes are too long for podcast form. So 4 hour long listening. But that was a general gist. But yeah, I really like Critical Role. It's good. I think everyone should watch it.
There you go. You heard it here first.
And I mean, they just seem like nice people, you know? I feel like all the podcasts and stuff I like, they all just seem like nice people.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they aren't, but they all seem that way. You can't really find anything bad about them online. I feel like if people are actually not nice people, you can usually find stuff about them.
Yeah, there's usually something.
Yeah. I think I have some ideas for your quiz questions.
All right. Let's see how we do.
All right. What is the name of the world? Like the Matt Mercer's world.
Is that Vox Machina?
No.
Oh, shit. I don't know. It starts with a T.
No.
Okay. I don't know.
Alexandria.
Oh. All right.
Caldore was one of the continents. Yeah. I was hoping that I said it enough that you would remember it. Which cast member has the most acting credits?
That's a lot of names.
Yeah, I don't know what else to ask though. I forgot to make the quiz.
I don't know. That's one of the names I don't remember. Oh. It was like 494 or 497.
Yeah, you got the number right. Laura Bailey. She also has the most awards, and she was the Dragon Ball person. So I was really hoping you would remember her name.
Yeah, well.
Okay. What was the number of acting credits that the lowest person had?
69.
Nice. All right. So we've got three questions so far. You're 1 for 3. All right.
Yeah.
What is the name associated with campaign one?
That's Vox Machina.
Right. And what is what is the name associated with campaign two? I probably only said this one once.
I don't know. The only other name I have in my head was like that other continent, like Marquette or something.
Oh, you know what? Let's forget I asked you that. Let's give you a soft toss for the final one. What night of the week does Critical Role air?
On Thursdays.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wow, we did it. I did not even register until I told you that I forgot to make a quiz. So like halfway through, like, I was like, oh, dang it. I had a busy day yesterday. That piano, not fun. I'm so sore.
Yeah.
And I didn't even do, like, I mean, my dad and my cousin were helping me.
Did you put it in your storage unit? Where did it go?
Yeah. I think I can put it in the duplex, but I'll have to try to, I'm assuming my background check's going to clear. I would have to work on it. I don't even know when I'm going to be able to work on it. But it's not going to be good for it to, it's going to be even worse for it to stay, like, in the garage or whatever, so.
Yeah.
But anyways, what are your thoughts on the Critical Role land?
Sounds pretty neat. I know people really like Matt Mercer, and he's in all kinds of stuff that we watch, so. Seems like a pretty cool dude.
Yeah.
He's like the Keanu Reeves of freaking D&D.
He's got that long hairstyle you were trying to do in, like, middle school, ninth grade.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Rocking it.
Maybe on Thursday, instead of playing D&D, you should just watch the first episode of Campaign 3.
On Thursday, instead of me playing D&D?
Nope, I meant Call of Duty.
Oh. I was like, I wasn't aware I had plans.
I really can't talk anymore.
Your brain is fried.
Yeah. You know what, like my chicken fried.
Cold so beer what on did a Friday you think? Night. What did you think of the Squid Game?
Well, we watched an episode and a half, and then we kind of stopped because I got up at 4, so I was tired. It's good. The thing. Whoa.
Whoa! Hey, no spoilers for anyone who hasn't seen the first episode. But
I didn't do anything.
Yeah. Just overall. I don't even remember what day I started watching that, though. Holy cow. I think I did the whole thing within a week. And I was, like, so hooked that I was on my laptop watching it in the hotel when I was out of town. So I was like, I have to finish this.
Did you change your words to something?
No.
What's it say? I can't see it.
You're going to have to zoom in post-edits.
Does it say Squid Game?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a little too blurry.
Oh, well, my joke might not land then.
Kicks ass.
But that show had me so hooked. And I hate being like one of those bandwagon people that's like, oh, yeah, you have to watch it or whatever. You know, everyone else is watching it. You have to, too. But I can legitimately say if I stumbled on that show on my own, I would have loved it just as much, because that is like one of the best shows I've ever seen.
Wow. And Scott doesn't like things, so that's like high praise.
I'm a little cynical when it comes to some shows and stuff, but that's like in my upper shows. I mean, I really like Breaking Bad, I really like Mindhunter, and then the first season of True Detective is hard to beat. But
I never watched that either.
For freaking Stopping Power, I mean, only 9 episodes, and oh man, it's up there. It's one of the best shows I've seen, and it freaking, usually I'm pretty good about predicting things too, like what's going to happen.
Scott is really good at this.
I wasn't that good for this, so that says something. It kept me on my toes. I didn't really quite know what was going to happen, and yeah, I loved every minute of it, so for whatever that's worth.
So that's Scott's plug.
Yeah, my plug is watch Squid Game, like 80% of America is telling you to do.
Sometimes I can predict things, but the thing that I predicted the most was that stupid movie we watched with your mom.
Which one was that?
The one with the mom and the son and the mob.
Mom and the son and the mob.
Yeah, the lady in the diamonds and her wife.
I Care a Lot.
Yeah, I think I hate it so much that I can't remember the title. That movie...
It's I Care a Lot.
I know. But I'm saying I never remember that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But that movie, I predicted like all of it, and it pissed me off so much.
So Kendra doesn't like being able to predict things.
Yeah, and if you want to be pissed off, watch that movie.
I think a lot of people like that movie, actually.
It's like more annoying than Michael Myers not dying.
Well, you go into the Halloween movies knowing full well that Michael Myers isn't dying.
But I didn't know that.
Well, he's around for all the movies.
Well, there could be a different one.
I don't even really remember what the special thing is about him. He's, I don't know.
I don't think it tells you. Unless it does in one of the other 12 movies I didn't watch.
But I think the mask like gives him power in the night.
The doctor is always just like, I can't figure him out.
Can't figure him out. This guy's not human. He should be dead.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Anything else you want to talk about?
I don't think so. I guess shout out to Jackie because I'm wearing her shirt.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
I'm going to shout out Jackie just because she's my friend and I like her.
Nice.
I'm going to plug your friendly local game store since we're talking about D&D and stuff. You know?
All right.
Even on Critical Role's website and stuff, instead of they tell you to go pre-order their book through your friendly local game store. So keep your
keep your
friendly local game store alive, y'all.
In my area, that's the Gameplay is what it's called. Just Gameplay.
And in my area, that's Adventures Underground.
There you go. Very nice.
Next week, I guess we're going to watch a movie, and that's Scott's turn again until December, so.
Yeah, we're going to have to figure out what we're watching.
Did you see Jackie's suggestion?
Was it the number 23?
Yeah, because it's our 23rd episode.
Whoa. Yeah. And it's on a movie one. I don't know. We might have to do that.
Yeah. I have the DVD.
Nice.
That benefits me and me only.
Yeah, true. I mean, it can't be that hard to find a watch.
No, I'm sure it's places.
The one last thing I'll say about Squid Game, because I forgot, but I wanted to shout out the writer and director, Hwang Dong-hyuk. But apparently he's been trying to make this thing for like 10 years.
Oh, really?
And he's been like broke, people wouldn't buy into it, has been a constant struggle. So just the fact that it's doing so well after he successfully made it, I think is pretty cool. Yeah. So last little tidbit there.
I guess we can wrap this up.
Hi.
You guys send us an email with topic suggestions, comments, feedback, marketing tips, poems, whatever. You know, just mail it. I'll proofread some resumes, you know, just send
a nice haiku.
Yeah.
That's always nice. Yeah.
575 needs to be about the weather. You got it. You can send us an email, 25FIBE, more minutes pod at gmail.com. You can follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook at 5MMPOD. And maybe Scott's going to make a Twitter. We only kind of talked about it.
Oh, yeah.
You can follow us on there. Look at the reels. Sometimes I post them like 2 days later to TikTok because I honestly just forget to open that app. But, you know, I try to do some funny things, some behind the scenes stuff, you know, mix it up, give you a peek behind the screen. Maybe yeah. I'll even post Scott in his cool shades at the beginning or the picture he sent me when my Rickroll didn't work.
It was a Rickroll landed a little flat.
I'm so upset. It didn't say there was going to be a preview and it did not show it in my
I've email. Never had that pop up in my email before.
Yeah, I was so mad when you sent me that picture. I was like, dang it. I was more worried about you hovering over it and seeing that it said YouTube. I didn't even think about the fact that it would show like an image. I was so excited too. I was like, oh, I'm gonna Rickroll Scott.
Gonna get him.
I was so excited. Yeah, you can turn on automatic downloads, download our episodes, give us a review. You can also listen to our episodes on Facebook now. You can share us with your friends, families, your friends who are your family, your family who are more like friends and family, because let's be honest, we all have some of those. And, you know, download reviews, share us. Sharing is caring. Caring is sharing.
Share us. Pass us around.
We'll be your sluts.
Whoa. Signed up for a little more than I bargained for, but you know, Don't threaten me with a good time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, anything else? I think that is it.
Yeah, till next time.
All right, hugs and kisses. Bye.
Clocking out.
Whoa. Swipe.